Well, good afternoon. It is Monday, May 14th. This is Pastor Bill, one of the pastors here at Berean Baptist. Come to you bringing an article by Mary Claire Dale, the Associated Press, Thursday, May 10th. It says, "None Catholic official could have quit over abuse." Philadelphia. A Roman Catholic nun testified Thursday that she and two relatives were sexually abused by a priest described by a church leader as one of the sickest people I ever knew. The nun testified in the clergy abuse trial of Monsignor William Lynn, the first U.S. church official charged with felony child endangerment for allegedly leaving predator priest in ministry. The nun said her sister and cousin went to the archdiocese in 91 to report the 1970s-era abuse by Reverend Nicholas Cudimo and asked that he be removed as parish pastor. They met with Monsignors James Molly and Lynn, who worked in the office for clergy. The sisters had been molested as girls, and the cousin repeatedly raped, they reported. Cudimo was put on leave and sent for a psychiatric evaluation, but the family soon learned he was saying Mass at other parishes. "I felt misled in thinking that taking a leave of absence would mean that he would not be able to say a public Mass," the nun testified. The nun said she talked to Lynn about Cudimo again in 98 when Lynn led the office of the clergy. He took over the job from Molly in 92. On cross-examination, Lynn's lawyer asked if she thought Lynn had the power to remove a priest from ministry. "He had the power to suggest it," the nun said. "I imagine things would be signed off by the archbishop." She conceded that the archdiocese is a very hierarchical structure, but Lynn, she said, could have quit. "I could imagine the office of secretary for clergy has a great deal of power," she said. "You can also say, 'I cannot do this.' You can walk away." So here this woman is saying, this man who did the sexually abusing could have, or rather allowed a sexual abusing priest to stay in the ministry, could have quit over his failure, but he didn't. Lynn had the power to remove a priest, and he also had the power to leave. He should have done the right thing and left. The woman gave her name in the court, but the Associated Press does not generally identify people who say they have been sexually abused. Cudimo was allowed to retire in 96 as a priest in good standing, which made him eligible to say Mass in other dioceses. The grand jury accused him of sexually molesting 11 girls. He violated one girl with a communion wafer, let another priest have sex with her, and took her for an abortion when he got her pregnant in junior high school, the grand jury said. Cudimo, ordained in 1963, was described to the grand jury as one of the sickest people I ever knew by Molloy Cardinal Beville Aquas, a vicar for administration. 2005 grand jury report said, Cudimo was defrocked that same year. He had worked at three archdiocesan high schools from 69 to 77, allegedly transferred amid abuse claims and later at several parishes. Messages left this week at the possible phone number in Florida for Cudimo have not been immediately returned. Well, that's hard to imagine. The trial, now its seventh week, could wrap up by Memorial Day. Well, what do we say about this kind of thing? Are we surprised that a priest was not only not fired, but was just simply relocated by a particular Monsignor who works at the office for clergy? Are we surprised that perverts get away with nonsense? Are we surprised? Well, we shouldn't be. We're told that he that finds a wife finds a good thing in the book of Proverbs. We're told in 1 Corinthians 7 that the rule is that a man should seek a wife so that he doesn't burn in his lust. In fact, we're even told in 1 Timothy chapter number 4 that in the last days many would say that it was a virtue to remain unmarried. With all these things that are positive about marriage, do you think that it is proper and right to say that a priest, a man of the cloth, should be unmarried? It says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God has created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth." So here we have a scripture that tells us in the last days many will get their mileage off of forbidding people to marry. Now, I don't want to just broad brush and say everyone who stays unmarried for the sake of, quote, the church is a pedophile. Of course I don't. That would be unfair. But I think we need to acknowledge the fact that many of these sexual abuse problems in the Roman Catholic Church are partially because it is a shameful thing for a man of the cloth to get married and have children, which is God's plan from the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, reproduce, man and woman, male and female are to reproduce. And 1 Corinthians 7 seems to say that if a person stays celibate, it is a gift from the Lord, and it is definitely painted as an exception to the rule. So what do we say about a an organization that calls itself the church and yet says, now, we know the apostles had wives, but our priests, nope, they cannot have wives. They cannot get married. They cannot have children. What do we say about that? Well, that should be a real red flag. That should tell a person to sit back and say, you know, this is probably not an organization that really represents the faith of the apostles once delivered to the saints in Jude 3. So, the question is wrong, isn't it? We shouldn't be sitting back wondering, well, how does this happen? The question is wrong. The question is, who is the first person that decided that priests in this Roman Catholic, quote, church, unquote, should not be married? Well, the history lesson is not the point. The point is that when we decide to pervert marriage, when we decide to change God's rules, we cannot expect there to be success in any way, shape, or form. We should not be surprised that people who are told they cannot be married have a lust problem. I don't know how else to say it. We cannot be surprised when people who are told you're a grown man and you're not allowed to marry and have sex with a person, with your wife, with the wife that you should have, we cannot expect that person to somehow grow up and have this ability to resist an attraction towards the opposite sex. And by the way, you can never get married. What a ridiculous notion. Paul even says it is better for you to marry than to burn. It's better for you to not have fornication, so get married. It is better, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 1 and 2, you should not commit fornication, but let every man have his own wife, every wife her own husband, and they shouldn't even spend time away from each other except for prayer and fasting, and then come quickly back to each other so that they are not tempted of the devil. That's 1 Corinthians 7. And so when we say that Pope so-and-so is better than the Apostle Paul, we're going to run into trouble. When we say the Pope so-and-so is better than the Apostle Peter, who, by the way, had a mother-in-law because she was healed by the Christ, then I suppose we cannot expect anything but trouble. This is Pastor Bill. Do you have any comments, questions? Email me, bsturm.bbc@gmail.com.